Hello and welcome to Required Reading, the podcast that revisits the most impactful books from our childhood. I'm Erin Bowles. I'm your host. I'm a writer, actor, and comedian, and an adult who needs a booster seat because my office chair is fucked with its hydraulics. Our guest today is Cassandra Curiezis. She is a comedian in Philadelphia who co-hosts the podcast Flop Soup, a podcast about pop culture and flop culture that comes out every Friday wherever you get your podcasts. You can also catch her on Substack, where she publishes an occasional newsletter called Cassandra's Good Links, which features curated recommendations of good and/or funny articles from around the internet. Her reading habits these days include being in the middle of about four books at once and trying to avoid those contemporary fiction novels that have colorful blob covers, you know, the kind. Welcome.
Hi, thank you. Thank you for having me and for reading kind of a long bio, I'm realizing, but now you know everything about me.
No, I love it. I love that you touch on reading habits because I'm also in about four books at once. I opened my story graph today and realized it says I'm currently reading about 40 books. That's incorrect, but
Probably 40 books have been recommended to you in just the last 6 months alone. It's like
oh yeah.
impossible to keep up. People are like, you should really read this. And I'm like, I should. But imagine if I had all the time in the world.
Yeah. Especially, I listen to so many audiobooks and then just the borrow goes away on Libby and who knows if I'll ever come back to it.
Yeah, totally. There's so many ways to consume books, right? You could do audiobooks, ebooks. I read this book that we read today on completely on the Kindle app on my phone,
Me too,
which is
yeah.
that was a first for me. It went so fast. I was like, I could really be reading so many books if I just did this every day. But then I'm like, do I want to have my face in my phone that much? I don't know.
Exactly. I've been lucky occasionally to find physical copies because there's so many little free libraries around me, which is it's strange but a blessing. But our book today is Lock and Key by Sarah Dessen from 2008.
That's right. That's right. And it was great to read, to revisit this time in my life, like ages like 13 to 17, where I read every single one of her books that was out by that point. So I was, when was I 17? Like 2011. So anything before 2011, I have read by her, and one or two after that.
Yeah.
And I picked this one just because I feel like I remembered like liking it a lot. Like I like some of them I liked better than others, and I was like, I think I like this one. This has the guy who swims in his backyard, and then he actually doesn't swim that much. So that was it. I was like, interesting that I remembered him swimming all the time, and he swims like twice total throughout the book. But I'm curious to hear your thoughts on it because it's your first Sarah Dessen read, right?
Yeah, I was so excited that you picked this. I've asked someone else to come on and they've said like just one of Sarah Dessen's and then hasn't gotten back to me. So I was really excited to get to one and just see what it's about. This one, if you're not familiar, is about a 17-year-old girl whose mom just up and vanishes. And she ends up moving in with her older sister and her husband, and suddenly sort of like experiencing what normal life is with like a stable adult presence
Yes.
and adjusting to that. And it was really interesting. It was like I felt like Sarah Dessen, I have this understanding of her works being like I think I had a negative view of her just because I think culture has like a negative view of things that teen girls like just
Yeah, totally.
inherently. So I had this perception of like being really melodramatic, and yet this was actually my first time reading it, and I really enjoyed it. I thought there was like a lot of really good like emotional intelligence and lessons for young girls to like have a lot of insight in, and I think give a lot of language to things that are really hard and challenging. It was a great read and really surprising.
I'm glad that to hear that you liked it. I always like so, obviously you're not like, oh, I have to read all the rest of them because they're like for younger people, very clearly. But as an adult, I like feel like I have been really chasing after the high of like this type of book where it's like a touch above where it needs to be, but it's like
Yeah.
still just obviously kind of like a beach read. Like, but she does a good job of like kind of building a world and putting somebody through something. I always think of her books as like somebody has a secret, but it's all gonna be okay.
Yeah.
Which is like, but not, not the adult level where it's like Big Little Lies, Leanne Moriarty, where like it's horrible. It's just kind of like, okay, and we're moving through this and everyone has the support and it's fine. Because it did feel like when I was reading them as a kid, I was like, okay, there's like something for me to chew on here a little bit. As an adult, again, it's like, okay, like I know all this stuff already. She's like, and I guess having a friend means that you don't owe each other anything. And you're like, yes. Thank
Yeah.
you for sharing that with me. It was funny reading it on the Kindle app. Like, it tells you like parts that people have highlighted a lot of times. And like, it just like all of these like kind of platitudes about like what it is to be alive, like are highlighted like so many times. And you're like, it's just so clearly removed from the rest of the plot where it's kind of like, and then I said this, and then I was thinking about that. Like, there, I don't know, just a funny way to read the book, like, and to think about how it's written.
I read it on Libby, which it doesn't have that feature, but I guess there is an option to read it on Kindle, so maybe that's on me. But I really love that aspect because there are these moments of just like, and here's a takeaway. Here, put this on your poster.
Yeah, exactly. And like all the Amazon people reading it on Kindle, they know exactly what they want on their poster. So it's just very funny.
Yeah, but there were really good chunks, and I think when I was like the first half, I was like, there, is the conflict just like this girl doesn't know what like a nice stable life is, and so she's like confused about a lot of it. But I think like yeah, like you said, it's like everything will be okay by the end, but we can like sit with these big complicated emotional questions and like work our way through it and find out, and there's like a little bit of drug use and a little bit of alcohol and like
Yeah.
sex implied, and like it's I think it meets a teen audience in a really nice place.
Yeah, totally. That's a really good point. Like, there are some books where, I don't know, you said you're from Maryland. Did you ever read the Alice books by Phyllis Reynolds Naylor?
No.
Oh, okay. Well, those are like, I read a lot of those. You kind of like read this girl growing up from like 11 to 18. It's very didactic and very like cigarettes. Like, versus like, I feel like this is like, it is very matter of fact, like, oh, sometimes I would just like drink beers by myself when my mom would leave me alone. Like that, I always appreciated that level of like acknowledgement that kids do that. The kids are like drinking and doing drugs sometimes. And it doesn't mean like, oh my God, like this is a big problem. Like instead, she gets really drunk one day and then like she's like, shit, I probably shouldn't do that again because it's like bad for everyone around me. And you're like, yeah, that's a more normal way to look at that. So yeah, definitely. It really does. It meets teens where they are. That's a really good way to put it. And it's really good YA. I think it's funny because she does Sarah Dessen generally, to just like jump out for a second, she has this like Dessen universe going where like if you look at her Wikipedia page, it's like, so characters from this book appear in this book. And like even in this one, like if you look, there's like four people from other novels of hers that appear. Oh yeah. Like the guy that she's kind of dating, Marshall, before she meets Nate, his roommate is someone from another book called Dreamland. And then two people who come to her jewelry kiosk where she works, they're like other people from another book. And it's like, it's an interesting like thing to consider where like she really has built this like whole universe of in this town, Wildflower Ridge, which I did want to ask you, where are they? Were you able, like,
I couldn't tell either. For some reason, I like assumed it was either, it was like, I assumed it was a state that started with an I. I don't know where I got
okay,
that.
that's an interesting take because there are other states mentioned. It's like Nate is gonna move to Arizona, maybe. There's another part where she's like, and then he said this thing, and it was as random as if he had said butterfly or Minnesota. And I'm like, and where is Minnesota in relation to you? Like, what's the situation there? That is an and Wildflower Ridge, the town where they live, appears in other Sarah Dessen books, which is really interesting to me that she's built this world that you're like not sure where it is.
It seems like you have to like go through all of them in like a process of elimination of like, okay, it's not Arizona and it's
Right.
not Minnesota.
It can't be, right? Like, and there's one book I remember that's like definitely in Maine, but that's the only one that's like says that I remember that like says exactly where they are, which is like, it's an interesting tactic. And Sarah Dessen herself is from North Carolina. So I'm like,
And it seems like she has spent like both of her parents taught at a North Carolina university. She lived in North Carolina. She still does. So I was like, why not do it in North
in North
Carolina?
Carolina. And I feel like there's a lot of stuff about like water and the beach and stuff in different books. And I'm like, they have a beach in North Carolina that people are always talking about, the Outer Banks. Now they have a TV show about it. Like, you know, we could do there.
Absolutely.
Interesting.
It is. It's and I see it both as like, so that it could be anywhere USA and anyone can you put themselves in it. But it also just felt And always talking about the local college is the U
The you,
is
yeah.
but I also loved it, and I also thought it was so like cute and quaint and
No,
just
it was very quaint. I was thinking about how nice it is that like nobody is like experiencing any type of elitism, really. Like it's just like, are you gonna go to college or not? And it's like totally great if you just go to the U. And for some reason, if you go to the U, you might like invent MySpace or whatever UMe.com is supposed to be, which I'd hear your thoughts on.
So her brother-in-law that she ends up living with has created a website called YouMe that is, I assumed it is Facebook, but maybe that's like the slight difference in our ages of just like.
I thought about Facebook. I did. And then I went to MySpace because I was like, but it's like, I don't know. Like it wasn't like, because the invention of Facebook is so evil. Maybe we didn't, maybe Sarah Dessen didn't know that, like in 2007 or whenever she wrote this, right? It's pre-social network. But I just was like, I feel like MySpace is so innocuous. It's like a cute, sweet thing where it's like, who are my friends? Like that kind of a thing versus like Facebook. I'm like, just the baggage around that. I went with MySpace. I don't
That's
know.
true though, while you say that, because when Jamie was introduced, that's the character's name. When Jamie was introduced as like a tech bro, I did have a moment of like, oh, this is gonna be a bad character. And he's not. He is
Like
so sweet.
the nicest man ever. I was like, but that's great. I'm so happy for everyone. He's like, I want to make a pond and I love your sister. And it's like amazing.
Exactly. Like he consistently, because the novel spans basically the course of a school year, her senior year, Ruby, our main character. And again, he like goes over the top for holidays. And her sister is always like, I'm sorry, he's just like this. And Jamie is like, I know your mother neglected you. I know you never had nice holidays, so I'm gonna make it so nice for you. It's like the sweetest thing you've ever read.
No, ever. And then like the one time that Ruby does go and get drunk by herself, right? It's like her sister's like, it's just hard because he just gets really disappointed. And she's like, yeah, I don't know how to talk to him now. It's very cute. And it really is just like, yeah, like teenage girl who had kind of a bad life gets to experience a good one. And she's like, hey, turns out living a good, nice life is good.
As I was going through my notes like an hour or two ago, I was like, this is like Anxious Attachment, the novel, which felt a little reductive, but also very accurate.
Yeah, she's like, I just can't care about another person. And then she's like, and but then caring was good, question mark.
Yeah, it was a lot of like, it's hard to let people in, but also it's hard to let people out once they're in.
Right. It's like, and when they're in, it is worth it. And you're like, yeah, yes, girl, we're getting it. And it was so like funny to watch, not funny, but like the rolling out of like mom's been lying to you the whole time. It's like, oh, you thought your alcoholic mom who like kept you in this like sad little like dark hole for however long, like different dark holes, was telling you the truth about where your sister was, who used to stand between you and your mom. Like it's like so obvious. But then as a kid, I feel like I didn't know. I was like, where are we going here? It's so true that she has to be by herself. She's always been on her own. Like, and then you're like, right. Like, of course.
I think I like didn't consider necessarily that her mom had been lying to her, because I was also like, yeah, if I was in that situation, I would also want to bounce completely. And maybe that's like an only child thing of me.
Maybe, maybe.
But I was like, yeah, relatable that she would get out of there and stay out of there. But I also
Yeah, I
think,
think that is, I will drop in and say I think that is only child. Having younger siblings, it's like as much as like I have brothers and I'm like, fuck these guys, man. But like if I would never ditch them like that. Like you just your siblings, like whatever you've been through with your parents, like you're just like, I'll get you out of there. Like, so I guess from that angle I knew, and probably also because I'd read it before and I remembered like, actually, it's all fine.
But that was such like a powerful moment when Cora is like, no, I was there and I kept trying to be there. Which is such a huge like it's corny and things like that, but that was a really beautiful, beautiful moment.
Oh, totally.
Some
And
character.
I was totally tearing up. Like,
Oh,
by the
yeah.
way, I cry at like everything, like books, movies, whatever.
Good.
And like definitely all of these books would like get me at one point or another, which is like what, you know, what I want to go on a little journey like with my characters. I will say one thing, which is I feel like I remember there being more like sex in these books. And this one was very chaste. Like it was very like, and then he kissed me, cut.
Yeah,
Like,
exactly.
and I was like, oh, that's all we get. We're not gonna get like, where did his hands go or anything? Okay.
Yeah.
Like, but when I was 14 or whatever, that was like amazing to me. And
Yeah.
like, I just reading it, I'm like, there's not that many even descriptions of Nate. Like, you just get like, he's pretty cute. Like, okay, shirt off is all right for me.
Yeah, it is like I don't want to like him, but shirtless is nice.
Yes.
It was very chaste, like you said, but I was also reading it and I was like, oh God, I would have gobbled this up. Like, this would have, again, like, this would have met me right where I was. Like, I
Totally.
didn't start dating until I was about 19. And in hindsight, I'm like, that was the right time for me. So I do think, like, this is the level that, like, I would have been good with. I talked to people who, like, read Wicked when they were in middle school, and Wicked starts with like a puppet orgy, like an incestuous puppet orgy.
Oh yeah, I read Wicked at too young of an age, and I remember vividly a description of somebody's pubic hair, probably Elphaba, but like, and I just was like, oh my God, pubes. Somebody else can see them. Like, this is crazy. And like I read Prep when I was like this same age, like 14 or 15, and Prep is like I also have vivid memories of like a description of a dick in that book where I'm just like, oh my God. Like when I read that, it was not ready for it. Like I was like, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God. Does everybody know about what's in here? I got this in the same section where I get all my other books. Like very crazy.
I do think I like expected it to be more salacious, this one, and yet I feel like, yeah, this makes exact sense. Like, that this is an author who was very popular and like had a big presence in libraries.
Yeah.
Sarah Dodson won an award within the last like 10 years, definitely, maybe five, called, I think, the Margaret Edwards Award, which is an American Library Association award for having a whole body of work that's a really great contribution to young adult literature. And I think, like you said, like she has this like universe and this kind of like empire of over a dozen novels. One became a Netflix movie.
Yes. Yeah. A Netflix movie?
Yeah, Along for the Ride, which is the one that came out after this.
Wait, I didn't know that they made that one. Do you know about How to Deal, the Mandy Moore
No,
movie?
yeah, they did make one of
Okay.
that. Yeah.
Okay, yeah. Well, that one's actually based on two books. I didn't know about Along for the Ride. Wait, that's
Yeah.
crazy. Okay, wow. Bad fan
Yeah,
alert.
I was just looking on her Wikipedia. So in 2019, Netflix bought the rights to three books, and then 2021, they bought rights to another one. And then Along for the Ride came out 2022, and last summer Sarah Dessen wrote on her Substack, they're not making any more, which,
Oh,
interesting.
interesting. Okay, wait, I did read some of her Substack posts because I was like, what is she up to? And then I was like, oh, she's like, I mean, when I think about like what would be like such a dream job, like she published her first novel when she was like 26 or 27 and like just wrote, you know, whatever, 15 books. I'm like, that sounds amazing. And you just like live in North Carolina and you're like hanging out. But I'm reading her Substack and she's like, it's been so hard to write this most recent book. Like, I'm having a bad time. I'm like, damn, it's really like hard out there for everybody, like, right now. Like, even if you had that, like, you know, 20, 30 years ago, like, right now, she's like, okay, they're not making any more of my movies and all that. Like, that's crazy. And she won this award. She's like not even 60, I don't think.
No, I think she's like 51, maybe.
Still lots of time to produce work of a whole lifetime, maybe
Absolutely.
even.
She was like really like every 2 years or even less coming out with a novel until 2019. And then obviously the world went crazy. So,
Yeah, for sure. I'm sure that that disrupted, but wow, I didn't know about the Netflix movie. I guess maybe that's part of the problem why they're not making any more.
maybe. And yeah, maybe it is like that was a generation that has passed, but also like it feels, other than like the flip phones, and it only feels dated by that. I even think like the you me thing still works. I think it like
Yeah.
works that social media is a part of it, I think.
No, definitely. And also like whoever, like if you were to make that into something now, like There's always some website type thing getting invented. Like, he could have been the guy who invented Rover. Like, I don't know. Or Nate and his dad are like have franchising through Rover or something somehow. Yeah. I will say this stuff with Nate's dad. That was kind of like a lot. I was like, wow, he's really like hitting his son. Like, damn, I don't remember it being this crazy. And in some ways, it was interesting. Like, I was like, okay, so like the first half of the book is about her adjusting, and then the second half is kind of about trying to figure out what to do about that. Yeah, it felt like maybe there could have been like more there. Like, she's like, I can't do this with him, and then just kind of leaves him alone. And I'm like, that, I don't know. I feel like there's like more that we could have seen here where she's like trying to intervene. I don't know. I don't know. That felt a little bit underdone to me in some ways, I will say.
I agree. I think the second half, because they like split it really evenly. Like
Yeah.
the she discovers that his father is physically abusive like on Christmas. And then like suddenly it's Easter and then it's graduation. And that part of the book moves so fast.
So
But
quickly, yeah.
it does feel like at like a bird's eye view, like the first half is like her learning this lesson, and the second half is like she has to teach someone else the same lesson, which I kind of like as a structure.
Yeah, it's like it wasn't bad, but like it's, I mean, of course, there's kind of like two ways to build a romance, right? Like, one is they don't kiss until the end, and one is they kiss in the middle and then something happens, which is obviously this is the second one. But there wasn't like, I feel like there wasn't enough like moments of tension, like between when she was like, I can't do this with you, and like what happens at the end, like almost like too much self-control from a teenager, I guess,
Yeah,
where I'm like,
absolutely.
come on, like we're not really ignoring each other like that. Like
Yeah.
there would be more like, where is he? I'm running into him by accident, like kinds of things, you know?
Yeah, you could have had like Olivia, like, or Gervais.
Gervais, I know. I was like, where did we get this name? Where did you find that, honey? But like, okay, here, I have a 12-year-old like little freak genius. I'll have to go to my weird names Bible.
Exactly. Or like, of course, the only thing I could think of was Ricky Gervais, which is
Of
bizarre.
course, very weird. And also, like, I'm like, 2006, like, where was Ricky Gervais? I guess he was just like on the British Office. Like,
Yeah,
okay.
exactly. But also like in the end, like cute, like this like nerdy 12-year-old who is in senior year of high school who will not stop farting, ends up like being like really sweet, coaches her through calculus, like has
Yeah.
a crush on her best friend, but is like, I know you're not interested, and that's okay, and we're just gonna be pals. Like all works out so nice.
Yeah, it is. It's all like so wrapped in a bow. Which again, when you're 14, that's kind of like great. It's amazing. So it did make me think about it is like, I think we were saying this before we got on the pod. Like, it is very straightforward. There's not a lot of like description of scenery. Like, it's very like he put this down on the table and then he said something. You don't get a great sense of like what Wildfire Ridge is, right? Like, we don't know where they are. Like, you're not even sure like what the downtown looks like, right? Like, we're only at their house and at Perkins Day, which is
And the
another.
mall, which I
And the
kind of,
mall,
what a late aughts thing that feels
like
so
place to
right.
be. I know. And it was interesting. Like, I was thinking about how, like, I feel like now I want more of a sense of setting from a book. But when I was younger, I was very, like, I liked a lot of plot and dialogue. And I'm the same way with movies now, honestly. Like, if a movie feels like I don't know where they are, I get annoyed. I'm like, I have to know, like, what's in the air where they are. But this book was very, there wasn't a lot of like humor really, which it just made me think about like other books that I loved when I was this age. Like, I read a lot of like Angus Thongs and Full Frontal Snogging. Like, I read all those books. I know you did Princess Diaries on this podcast. I read every Meg Cabot book that I could get my hands on. And those are so much like snarkier, like funny girl, like commentary. It's really just like, here's like where I am, what my situation is. I'm kind of like thinking back into my life to inform you of like why I'm here now. And you just are getting like kind of what's going on. Like, there just isn't a lot of commentary, is I guess what I'm trying to say, which is an interesting, it's interesting to me that that is like her writing style, and that I did love that so much, that like for like whatever the stories were. Because now I'm definitely needing a lot of the like the style, more of the style of writing.
Like, what are you reading a lot now?
Yeah, that's a great question. I will say the one author that I'm into right now, like in a similar way that I was into Sarah Dessen, is Tana French, who is like an Irish murder, or she actually herself is not Irish, but she writes only about Ireland, murder mysteries. But it's like kind of like elevated murder mysteries where it's not just here's what's going on. There's a lot of setting, a lot of like thinking and description and interpersonal conflict like layered in with the mysteries. Like Stephen King is obsessed with her, like is always like this is like the best a murder mystery can be. And then I also like I read a lot of just other contemporary fiction. Like have you read Less by Andrew Sean Greer?
No, but I see it everywhere. Is it
Okay.
as good as everyone
It's
says?
good. It's really funny. And there's a sequel that I'm reading right now, which is interesting. It won like a Pulitzer Prize, I think. And I'm like, oh, Pulitzer Prize winning novels are like having sequels now. That's interesting.
I just read The Idiot by Alif
Oh,
Hotman.
yes, I love that book.
I
So
do
like that's
too.
yeah. And that one's another one that's like very heady. Like it's not like, here's what's going on. It's kind of like I'm having a lot of thoughts.
Yes.
And I'm pacing my freshman dorm hall and I'm thinking a lot about like what it would be like if I ran into this tall guy I have a crush on. Like
Yeah, reading The Idiot was so surreal because I was like, oh, that was 2018. Like, that was exactly copy paste 2018 for me, which was so surreal. Loved that book. Loved that book. But the
yeah.
like meditating over each and every little like thought and action and like every like he put his hand on my knee and there's like paragraphs about thinking through that. That felt so real to
No,
that age.
totally, totally. And it's like that is the exact opposite of what happens in this book. It's
Yes.
literally like Nate put his hand on my leg and then I looked up at him and I said X. And it's
Yeah.
like, okay, got it. Like, and then again, you get that cut where it's like, we're touching physically now and like, we're gonna do that and you're not gonna see any of it.
Yeah. The most we got was like a fair amount of necking, which was surprising to me, but it was like, and then I put his hand on his chest, and then I saw the bruises and red and blue, and it was like, oh, now we're back into child abuse.
Right, and we're back into like what is up with your dad? Also, like the part of the foreshadowing of like he was obviously about to try to murder their dog, Roscoe, poor little Roscoe.
Oh my
He's like
gosh.
putting his hand around the dog's neck, and then Ruby's like, and I'm having a bad feeling about Mr. Cross. And you're like, oh, really? That is so interesting. I wonder how this is gonna resurface later on.
Man, I don't think I blocked that out, but I did forget about that. I think I was just like very much like yum 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 about the stuff with Nate. Like it's
Yeah.
just like
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Of course. You're like, oh my God. And he now he has to drive her to school. Can't wait to see what happens with that. Like,
Yeah.
it's gonna be crazy.
I am touching my necklace because the whole book is about her. Well, the
Oh, yeah.
title
We
is
haven't
about her
even talked
necklace.
about the necklace.
Oh my
Yes.
God, the lock and key. So I put on a significant necklace for me, which is a little tiny fortune cookie, because it reminds me to feel gratitude and luck is just around the corner.
Oh, that's so cute.
Yeah. Her necklace is the key to the house that her mother leaves her in.
Yes.
And then she works at a jewelry kiosk in the mall. Love
Yeah. For, oh, we
it.
haven't even talked about Harriet and whatever
Harriet.
her not boyfriend's name, Reggie.
Reggie? Yes. Oh my God, the man at the vitamin store.
Yeah, sweet, sweet. But yeah, so she works at this jewelry kiosk, and Harriet is like, I love your key necklace. I'm gonna make them with rhinestones and they're gonna be mega popular. Let me ask you something. Do you remember when key necklaces were all the rage?
Vaguely, what I immediately thought of was that was to me that was big from Zoe 101. She wore, but just I looked it up, 2005.
True. Okay, yes, you're so right. Yeah. It just was interesting. Like those necklaces were already a thing, and the book is like, and we're the first people to do key necklaces. And I'm like, I have three of those that people gave me
Yes.
when I was like exactly 13. Like I was like 13 or 14 in 2008. Like these were already everywhere. Like, and she's trying to be like, and I invented this because of this thing where I thought that I was holding a piece of myself by putting it on a chain. Like,
Yeah. And I was so confused. I thought she gave Nate, when he leaves for Arizona, the key. But then I feel like she has it again later. And what
I
did he
don't
give
know.
her?
I don't. He gave her key earrings.
Yes. You're
Which
right.
I was like, that honestly sounds ugly, like tough
Yes.
and true. Like, it's not gonna sit right on the lobe. I guess maybe if they were dangling, but I'd have to see
If
it.
they're normal keys, that's just too big. That's just too
It's just too big. It's just too big. So did you like make a fake little key? I guess maybe a diary key might work. We're thinking too hard about this, maybe, but I was confused. And I was a little bit like, if I saw somebody with key earrings and a key necklace, I'd be like, that's enough keys. And related to that, like again, while I love this book, had so much fun with it as a kid, I definitely took a lot of photos like as I was reading of like that's like enough like lock and key talk. Like enough like and the key to my heart was also the lock to my heart, which is the key to love, by the way. Like, and you're like, okay.
It's a lot of like, it's a lot easier to be lost than to be found.
Yeah, oh my God. That was that's literally a line. I mean, it's literally a line. Okay, I mean, here's one line that I took a picture of. A lot can change between planning something and actually doing it, but maybe all that really matters is that anything is different at all. I took a picture of this because I was like, I actually don't really know what this means. Like, we've gone so far into platitude that like we've said nothing. All that really matters is that anything is different at all. And it's like, what?
That sounds like you've had a little too much edible,
Yeah, right. It's like run it back and you'll erase it, I think. You're gonna hit the
Exactly.
delete key. But there was a lot of that with the lock and the key, where she just was like
Yes.
fingering the key and yeah, that whole thing. Which was funny, which is I definitely think that this book, again, loving all of Sarah Dessen, this is definitely, I think, in her bottom half of books. Like from what I can tell, like when I'm reading her Wikipedia page and it's like, she won the award for like these eight books. Like these are the ones that got adapted. Like, and I'm like, okay, I'm not really seeing lock and key anywhere
No.
on these lists.
I noticed that too. It seemed like, I forget, it's the one that became a Netflix movie, seemed to be like that one
The
hit the New York.
peak.
Yes, that was like
Yeah.
New York bestseller list. She's like, there was something on Wikipedia that was, she's like a, bestseller engine or something. It seemed like the next one really kicked. Yeah, like
Really
you
was like the
said.
whole thing. Yeah. Along for the ride. Yeah. That's the one where I think that one's in Maine. That's the one that's like they are in Maine. And there's a guy who like rides bicycles. And that's a whole situation.
That's the metaphor in that one.
Yeah, that's the metaphor. Yeah, a meta. Yeah, I love a YA novel that's like, by the way, we're doing metaphors. We're
Exactly.
big on metaphors.
Let's make sure you learn it. Oh my God. But something I did not love is the English class assignment about define family.
Family, yes.
So she like, it's the beginning of the semester. She just transferred in, and the English teacher is like, okay, we've got a hat full of words. Pull yours out, ask people. And at the end of the year, which felt like so long for this little, sorry, rinky dinky little project, and collect definitions of it. And she pulls out family. And I was like, ah, oh, great. But I would have immediately, even in my little, I was a very shy kid, I would have been like, my mom just abandoned me. I'm not doing this, ma'am. Give me literally anything
Right,
else.
right. It's like trigger. I'm gonna have to pull a different
No.
one. That's gonna be a no from me. Yeah, completely agree with what you're saying. I will say, I actually did have to do an English project that was very similar to this when I was in 10th grade, where it was like, but it was like leveled up from the word family, closer kind of to advice, which another girl had picked out of the hat. I did mine on jealousy. The words were like jealousy, power, like just more complicated than I feel like. Family is like obviously very literal. Like, even though it can be chosen as she learns, and that you can have different types of families as Ruby really learns through the journey of the book.
Changes over time.
Right, or like I think change was one of the words like for the project that I did, right? Where there's like a lot there versus like family is like how much can you excavate that? And the character in this book did literally as much as you possibly could with that.
And I think that Olivia, who's an interesting character, becomes her friend. I think Olivia got money, which was like,
Yeah.
which is sort of like you said, like the only mention of class that we really get, because they are at a private school and
Yeah.
they're old, they both came from the old school that was, scary, kind of.
Yeah, the
That's
scary
like
big public school. Like,
exactly.
Okay.
I went to like one of the scarier middle schools, but I remember so clearly like a kid transferring into our health class, and everyone was like, "Where'd you come from?" And he goes, "PG County," and everyone gasped. They're like, "Oh my God, you survived!" And now, like, my boyfriend's dad is from PG County. He's like, "What are you talking
Like, it's totally normal there.
about?"
This always to me was so confusing because there's like two things about me that really confused me growing up. One, I grew up on a cul-de-sac, but like just like a really nice, like a nice neighborhood, not one of the cookie cutter cul-de-sacs that are sort of like the standard of suburban living. And I got in this really long argument with a roommate of mine from college, who's now one of my very good friends, where she was like, cul-de-sacs are like the downfall of America. And I was like, mine was like really nice. I got to like ride my bike and kind of like no cars ever came. And the other thing about me is that I went to a really nice public school. And so when people are like the scary public school, I'm like, what is everybody talking about? Like, public school is great. There's a music wing. Like, and then now I know that I went to like the 10th best public school in Pennsylvania. And I'm like, okay, so it's not all like that. Got it. But there is just like, I mean, it's the same way like on the OC. Did you watch the OC?
No,
Oh my God.
but tell
Wow.
me
That
everything.
just missed you. You should really, I think it's on Hulu. You should really get in there. Like, it's a whole thing that like Ryan went to like a public school like one town over from where they are. And like everyone at the private school is like, oh, he's from where? Chino? And you're like, okay, like it's like not that weird. Very much that vibe of like, okay, it's just public school. Why doesn't everybody relax?
I love that you say that because I did go to the number one high school in Maryland, as rated by Newsweek magazine.
Congratulations, I'm
Thank
clapping.
you. But I was also, I went to like my best friend's wedding like 2 days ago, and we've known each other for 20 years, which is insane. And there were two other friends from our high school. And our high school, number one high school in Maryland, there was like a rat for every classroom, and everyone said the water fountains tasted like blood. And like the same week, they just had like a huge renovation. Like the school has a second floor now. And we were going through all these pictures, and we're like, man, it's really lost its character, you know? Like it's probably a lot better, but like the science building used to be the only place you could go to see the sky, you know?
It is important to remember that a public school, even if it's number one, can be kind of mid still.
It was bad. Like the big like headline of all the local articles was like, now everyone can eat in the cafeteria. Like there's enough
Oh, you
seats.
guys did not fit in the cafeteria. Oh my
No. So like
God.
everyone just sat on the floor everywhere.
That's cute.
It really was, because like, I mean, some kids will be like, I ate in my English teacher's classroom, and I was like, yeah, everybody ate in Mr. McKenna's classroom. We played like
That's the only place that we fit.
exactly. Like, we had to beg him to let us stay in there because we were really
Oh
loud.
God, that's so funny. I will say maybe Maryland is a smaller state, question mark, because definitely my public school was an enormous. The elementary school was enormous, the middle school was enormous, the high school was enormous. We had a pool at our high school that like adults in the area would like pay a membership to because it was such a nice pool. Which is crazy. Like,
I went to
it's
Poolsville High School, and like the prank on freshmen was like, yeah, there's a pool on the roof. There
oh
was
my
not.
God, there was no pool. Yeah,
There
of course, there
was.
was no pool. When I tell people that there was a pool at my public high school, they're like, okay, so that's kind of like not public high school. And I was like, I mean, fair.
We
Can't really
always
argue
like
with that.
told ourselves like we had a rival school, and then I was in Girl Scouts with a girl who went to that rival school, and I'd be like, oh, Richard Montgomery must hate us. And she was like, who?
Yeah,
Like,
she was like,
we
we
do
don't
not
even
even
think
think
about
about
you.
you. Precisely. And they, like, most of the high schools were giant. Like, that was part of the reason why they did this huge renovation, was because, like, my graduating class, I think, was 300 people.
That's
Although,
how big
also,
my high school was, too. Yeah, we were 300 per grade. Yeah.
nice. I'll say that, and people are like, that's not a small school. And I'll be like, it was the smallest by far where I'm from. That's
I will tell you, having asked people this question a lot of times, 300, I think, is like just about mid-size for a public school. Like, that's my fiance went to a public high school, that had 100 people per grade. Well, I'm just like, it's private school. Like, you're not in the conversation about what public school is or isn't. He just is from like a suburb of New Jersey, like right near like Rutgers University. And I'm just like, this is insane. Like, it doesn't count. Like, I don't know what to tell you.
Absolutely. That's wild. But you like, I forget in this book that they're at a private school. It so barely comes into the cut. They're like not in uniforms.
Right. And there's no, like, it's just like, oh, somebody has a BMW for like 1 second, and then like that's the end of it. Right. We don't get enough details about Olivia and her cousin who felt so random. Her like chubby little cousin who can't run a 5. I'm like, a 16-minute mile is walking. You're bullying this character. Like, I'm sorry. Like, I was a slow runner. I could run faster than a
She was
16-minute mile.
bullying her little cousin. Although, like, I was so, the whole time I was like, Olivia, you are so mean to little tiny Lainey. And I was so invested. I like cried when she
When
finished
she
the
finishes the, yeah,
5K.
I know. She's, I'm like, they have to stay out there for
Exactly.
her.
And then, however, she's like at the, they're like at her graduation ceremony and they take a big picture of the whole family and she's listing and she goes, and Lainey was there. And I was like, who?
Like,
I
who is
felt so
that? Like,
bad. Who is that? And the
we spent
vitamin
like,
guy.
you're right, the fight, Reggie is there, and you're like, wow, okay, so you're like not that close with your chosen family, I would
No,
say.
you're like really, it does feel like stretching to be like, well, I guess I'll invite the vitamin guy from the mall to my high school
Right.
graduation.
You're like looking at your phone, like, I guess I don't really have that many friends.
Ooh,
Like,
maybe I didn't do so well.
yeah, looking at her Yumi profile, like, I never did ask Heather to get a coffee. Like, which, by the way, another crazy part about this book was like how mature her and
Oh
Nate's
my
ex-girlfriend
God.
are about having dated Nate. They're just like, we're just two gals who are worried about him. I'm like, this isn't how high schoolers are. I need a little
No.
more here. I need a little more. Like, Heather went over to flirt with Nate and I got mad for 10 seconds. Like, come on.
That would have like you said, like added tension to that relationship, like made it a little meatier because it was like she goes up to Heather near the end and they're both like, you can't help someone who doesn't want to be helped. And it was like, you're 30.
Right.
What
They
is this?
nearly like hug and say a prayer together. That's how like totally kumbaya the exchange is. I'm
Exactly. I was
like, this
like,
is not how it works.
But and it does like it wraps up very cute of like she and Nate are going to go to the same college together and my big hope is that she stays in therapy. I'm happy for her and Nate and I hope they get to like sophomore year and they're like actually we've grown and this is
Yeah.
it.
And that's maybe the end. I will say I did appreciate that we didn't spend so long on the therapy. Like, I do feel like sometimes now you get too much like over explanation of like what people's experiences are with therapy, where like I liked that it was just like I talked to somebody and then it's like helped me process it. And I'm like, that feels like a healthy relationship with like saying therapy is good, but not necessarily needing to hear the therapist be like, it's not your fault that your mom left. Like, I appreciated that omission, honestly, because sometimes that can feel like a little bit like just like over-explainy of like
Absolutely.
what the person is going through. Yeah. So
Absolutely.
that was good.
I am, because you're right, like I'm so tired of seeing therapist scenes in anything, which
Yes.
is hilarious because there's this, her brother-in-law has this pond with these fish, and the whole time I was like Tony Soprano and the Ducks, which is also a show that like really overly relies, amazing as it is, does have a little too many therapy scenes.
Yeah. I mean, I guess it's getting away with it because I feel like that was the beginning of this
Yes,
problem.
exactly.
Like, and it wasn't a problem then because it was like groundbreaking, but now it's like, yeah, I don't know. In some ways, I'm good going off here, but like in some ways, I feel like people, like characters on TV shows, it's like they talk too much, like they are all in therapy. And I'm like, we're never going to live in a world where every single person is going to the therapist. It can't all just be like, and by the way, the reason that I overreacted earlier is because I was feeling insecure about like how I'm going to have to meet your parents tomorrow. Like, it's like that is making things less funny than they could be.
Yeah, there are like so many people get upset about movies that have like there's like one like miscommunication or like lack of communication and it all goes crazy. But I feel like there has to be a middle ground.
For sure.
There's something here we can
Like,
find.
we're not all perfectly communicating at all times. Perhaps the miscommunication isn't going to set all of these events off, but there are totally miscommunications that happen every day in a normal life where even some people are going to therapy. Like,
And I think that was something nice about The Sopranos is like that your therapist can also is also a person and makes mistakes and like can I'm not gonna actually pretend like I remember all of The Sopranos, but has mess, you
I
know?
have only seen bits and pieces. Like, I know what happens. But also, I will say, like, Tony Soprano, no offense to everyone, needs a therapist more than anybody else because
Oh
he
my
really
God.
can't tell anyone about everything that he's doing because part of being in the mob is like obscuring from even your closest people. Like, so he needed that.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that
And
was
no one
like
else does. No.
exactly, but that was like I think part of the conceit of the show is like you could have some like any character go to therapy or you could have a mobster go to therapy and that just sounds like a punchline to a joke. So of course, like
Yeah.
there's going to be a lot there to
There's going to be 7 seasons at least.
in our new podcast Defending the Sopranos. Here we go.
Two people who are like, I don't totally remember anything that happened, and another person who's like, I've seen kind of like 14 episodes across the entire thing, but I know that Christopher dies.
It's good. Oh my gosh.
Christopher.
I don't know what I was watching the other day. Oh, I watched Joe Dirt for the first time the other day.
Wow, that's a choice.
Huge fan, actually loved it. I did watch it. My whole family's from Kentucky, and I was like, that's my culture right there.
Okay, amazing.
Yeah, so it was like that. But at one point, one of the actors from The Sopranos who dies really early on is in it, like as a mobster going after Christopher Walken, who's run from the mob. And I was like, oh, he used to be on The Sopranos, but he died super early. And my boyfriend's like, yeah, that's why he's here.
Oh my God, that's really funny. Joe Dirt. Did you watch it on Comedy Central or just like?
No, just I think it was on a different library app. I think it was on Hoopla. And that's how we watched it, supporting our
Okay.
local library with Joe Dirt.
I love that. That's so beautiful.
I
I'm
loved
going.
it.
It's, I do feel like in some ways we don't make movies that are that stupid anymore. And that's kind of refreshing, like to just go back and be like, wow, this like went to the theater.
At the same time, I think Freddie Gets Fingered is leaving Criterion, so I tried watching that and I was like, I hate this. I cannot get through this. I
Who is
refuse to
that?
get through this.
Tom Green?
It's Drew Barrymore's ex. It's the
Yeah, I
father of
think
her
that is
children.
it is Tom Green. It is, yeah. Okay. Yeah. That's really funny. I've not seen that.
Joe Dirt is like, family can be anything. And if your heart is in the right place, you can get there. And life is a garden. Dig it. You know? It's like,
That's kind, but is that not kind of lock and key? Life is a
it
pond.
is.
Life just needs a key. Everyone is your
Exactly.
family. That's so beautiful.
Its heart is really in the right place.
Okay, so I think, are we recommending right now that the listeners read Lock and Key and then watch Joe Dirt?
The perfect
The
duet.
perfect
Absolutely.
Saturday, because honestly, this book shouldn't take you that long to read.
No. I was out of town for 3 days. And then this morning, I was like, okay, I do have 200 pages of this book to read. And my boyfriend was like, I don't think you're going to do that by 3 p.m. And I did. And
And you
I
did.
had time to spare.
Absolutely. I kept Googling and being like, is this really over 400 pages long? That can't be the truth. Like, and meanwhile, there are like many 400 page books that I'm like taking so long to read even 40 pages of.
Exactly. There's I'm
Okay.
reading Special Topics in Calamity Physics, which I'm really enjoying, but it is right now supporting my laptop that I'm doing this Zoom on, and it is over 400 pages and taking me a little crawl.
A little bit. Wait, sorry, is that a novel? Whoa, okay.
It's like
It's sounding like a textbook a
exactly.
touch.
It
Yeah.
does. I forgot about that, but it absolutely does. It's very like secret history vibes.
Oh, love that. I love secret history. Okay,
It's
cool.
really fun. But
That's
they're
good to
like,
know. When is it from?
I think 2010s.
Cool. I will write that down. Awesome.
That might be all I have about Lock and Key. I'm seeing my
It's, I
notes.
know, it's an easy one. I listened to some of your other episodes and you go into like some really complicated book, right? Like Golden Compass is going to be like, there's a lot to say here. He did so much. As we shared, Sarah Dessen is just kind of like, hey, there's a town, I guess. Like, here's what's going to happen. I mean,
I found an article of hers that might have been in 17 about like when I was 15, I dated an older guy and it was bad. Here's why. And I appreciated that. Well, I read that before I started into the novel, so I was waiting for like a real lesson about like don't do drugs, which I did appreciate that at the beginning, Cora, her older sister, is a social worker, gets her out of their mom's abandoned home and is like, you didn't have power, you didn't have water, there were drugs everywhere. And she's like, it was weed. It wasn't like heroin needles strewn about. It was pot.
Sarah Dessen. Yeah, dated an older guy. And she just was like, it's no good.
Yeah,
It's
she
not
was
the
like,
right thing.
it is weird. It's weird for a 20-year-old to
It's
date a
not the right
15-year-old.
thing. She's like, I thought about what it might be like to date a teenager after it happened to me, and it no good.
Exactly. She was like, and I felt pressured and I didn't like it. And that was it.
Okay. She's a straightforward person. We need that
Absolutely.
sometimes.
I think especially for YA, I think like there's, I think especially when you're a teen, like there's so much you don't want to hear. And so she gives you the juice. She gives you stuff that you can latch on to that you're intrigued by. And then she also says, like, it's good to be vulnerable. It's good to talk to people about your feelings. It's
It's
good to
good to have a
change.
friend, at least, maybe even three.
Maybe even three, including a kid who farts a lot, you know?
Right. So that's sometimes how the cookie crumbles.
And that's family, yeah.
I will say this book, these types of books are like perfect for like, are you a person who's really reading a lot? You need a lot of books. You need to be reading even when you don't have that much capacity to
Yep.
be like thinking and analyzing. She's great for that. She's really good for
Absolutely.
it. And some of them do break through. Like there, I remember there are other ones that I've found to be very like,
Yeah, like what were your favorites?
I think The Truth About Forever is like, that's one where I don't remember what like the interpersonal secrets are, but these two characters play this like truth game the whole time where it's like, okay, I'm gonna tell you something like true about me. And I remember that one. That one had a lot more tension between them because they don't, it doesn't get resolved until the end, like if they're gonna get together or not. And I think there was a lot more that was kind of like unsaid. Like, you know what, like reading between the lines of what people are saying, I think is what I'm trying to
Absolutely.
say. And that one I thought was great. And then I know that some of her earlier ones have like even heavier stuff in them. Like, I think there's one where like the girlfriend has to like leave an abusive relationship. Because How to Deal, the Mandy Moore movie, is like about an abortion.
Oh, wow.
So like
That also, I guess, makes sense that like the more publicity you gain, the more you kind of have to temper things and you know, the wider audience.
Totally. Because the bike one, I feel like, is very conflict free, where it's kind of like, I'm the new girl in town, or somebody's the new something in town, and like, you know, we're going on bike rides. They end up going to the same college. It's kind of like this one, but like, I think there's even less, there's like not a bad, there's not bad parents. It's just like, maybe his brother died. Like, you know what I mean? Like, whatever the secret is like, it wasn't his fault, and like, he'll be okay.
Which is good to have. Yeah, everything. I'm almost done editing our holes episode, and that's a wonderful thing about that book. It's just everything is like really nicely solved, and here it is, you know?
Right. Like the curse has ended. Like we're all
Exactly.
good. Oh, I do love holes. That is an interesting situation. I read the book and I saw the movie. I think the movie might be better than the book,
They are
which
almost
is
identical, yeah, which is surprising.
yeah, and like the movie really just like brings it has like a true tension to it, which I feel like books are usually, if you read the book that you like, you'll like the book better because there's like usually more there, you know? But for Holes, they really did something with that movie.
That movie is something special. Absolutely.
Something in the
Absolutely.
water for sure. But yeah, I don't know. I think maybe I just picked an easy one. Like it's just like
I
we liked
liked it.
it. We
Yeah,
liked
I
it.
did. And I'm really glad to get into Sarah Dessen. I feel like I have like answered something. Like I understand teen girlhood a little bit more.
Yeah, a little bit more for sure. Again, like I said, like the ones that are really so important to me are the ones that have a little more personality to them, like a little more like, I'm a funny gal. I'm like having a lot of stuff to say. But these are also great. Like it's just nice to settle into that feeling of like kind of I just have to like work through emotional stuff and everything will be fine. I'm gonna go to college and be happy.
Absolutely. Would you consider this one required reading?
I am gonna say not necessarily. Like, you should definitely, everybody should read like one or two of these to see kind of like what's up with them. But this one could maybe be one that you skip. As I shared, I think that she has some better ones in her little like own Dessinverse, her MCU of YA novels.
Exactly.
But if you are 14 years old listening to this podcast somehow, let us know how you found
Yeah.
it.
Absolutely.
And B, if you need to bring a stack of like 12 novels on like a beach trip or something with your family, like this would be a fine addition for sure.
Absolutely. Like, if I were an English teacher and you said this was your summer reading, I'd be very proud of you. Good
Yeah.
job.
I'd be
Yeah.
like, great, that's amazing for you. I'm glad that you had fun there. And now you're gonna have to read The Scarlet Letter. It's gonna be harder.
Buckle up.
Here we
Which
go.
we well, also the high-end store that she goes to in the mall is named Esther Prime, which isn't that,
Yes.
isn't it?
Esther Prynne. Yeah, isn't that
I think, is it Hester
Hester
Prime?
Prynne? It's Hester Prynne with P, and it's
Sarah.
spelled what's going on there? Prynne instead of Prine. Weirdly, when I read that, I was like John Prine, the singer who died. But you're right. It's just like Hester Prynne. I don't know what that's about
No, it
because
feels so random.
nobody in this book does anything even remotely Scarlet Lettery.
Not at all. Like you said, even like her and Nate getting together and the ex, everyone is so good.
Yeah,
Everyone's so
everyone's
chill.
right. And actually, a weird thing about this book was like the throwaway lines about teenage pregnancies, where it was like they broke up and then actually Rachel Waterston got pregnant and then nobody cared that we broke up anymore. And I was like, oh, that's kind of crazy.
Yeah, it
Like,
feels like
what?
you're driving in a car and you're like, something really weird was happening back there, but I
Right.
don't know what it
But we don't,
was.
we're, I guess we're not having time to check it out. Because like Perkins Day, like you would think the parents would be doing more to hide whatever that is.
Yeah.
That was another thing. Like as you shared, like there's no, we don't go into class enough, but like, yeah, it just wasn't enough. Like, so why does it matter that they're like going to this nicer school, except that it's just a different location?
Yeah.
More of that texture in the setting. You're not really getting that in this book. But you know what? Sometimes you don't
I
need
really
that.
enjoyed it. Yeah, it was really good. And I feel like such a good, I don't know, it's springtime. It feels like almost like a spring cleaning. Like you're taking a sheet and you're like flapping it out, you know,
Yeah,
crisp.
absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And you're like, okay, everything can just be hunky dory.
Exactly. You've got all the spring in your step. Absolutely.
I will say, ultimately, I do still think it's psychotic to put a pond in your yard.
It is
Like,
like he just has so much money that he truly can do whatever he
I'm like,
wants.
what is fuck you money? It's putting a pond in your yard for sure.
And Olivia says, like, there's still room for a pool here. You can do both.
Yeah, and you're like, wait, there's room for a pool? Okay, and sorry,
Yeah.
one more crazy thing about this, Nate's dad being broke ass, but he's neighbors with this guy who has so much
Yes.
money. I'm like, that's not clicking. Like,
No. And also, there's a line early where he's like, what's the point of having a gated community if you can't keep certain people out?
yeah,
And
like,
second, he's like, maybe embezzling from his clients, like bank accounts at
oh, he definitely
the
is. Like, also, it's so funny that he's trying to get everybody to sign up for auto debit. And he's like,
end.
I'm just stealing via auto debit. That's a very like 20 years on. I'm like, these idiots.
Yeah,
Like,
that is like, how did you? Well, I guess Jamie doesn't buy into it. That's true,
that's
but
true. Yeah. No, well, he
yeah.
doesn't the second time after he did buy
Yeah.
into the scam the first time around. And also their business being terrible is another funny thing where it's like, rest assured, we'll get your dry cleaning for you. I'm like, the whole problem with this is that like you would just need an assistant. Like you can't just have somebody do like one of your errands correctly.
Yes.
Like it never works out. Like they'll mess something up. Like,
Exactly. And this kid does have to go to school in the end,
right.
ultimately.
It's like it's so grazed over that like on Valentine's Day, he's like, well, I'm just not going to school today because I have to like do all these little errands for my dad. I'm like,
Yeah.
what? Like,
Absolutely. Oh, gosh.
okay. It's really a great book if you're gonna read it and then talk with a fun person about it on a
Yeah.
podcast also. Like that's a great way to read this book.
It's definitely like a good book club book.
Oh, for
Absolutely.
sure. Yeah. If you're in YA book club for some reason, or if you're 14 listening to this podcast
Yes. If you are a high school librarian, we have a
somehow.
recommendation for it. You probably already know.
You probably already know about it because it won this library award.
She did. She did. Nonetheless. Thank you so much for doing this. This was such a
Yeah,
delight.
absolutely. Same here. I love your idea. It's great. It's like such a fun one, and I will be listening to more episodes after my own. I'm excited.
Thank you. I
Yeah.
listened to Flop Soup. I loved it. I was listening about Jennifer Lopez as a velociraptor, and I was giggling on my hot girl walk. I loved it. I was
Good,
amazed she
good.
has
We're
like
so
two little
glad.
eyelashes, and that's how you know she's a girl.
Yeah, we have fun on Flop Soup. So definitely give it a listen, whoever's listening. If you're 14, I think there's something for you there too.
Absolutely. Nothing flopping like a 14-year-old.
Yeah, that's so true.
And that's part of life.
For
There
sure.
anything else you want to plug?
No, I have that Substack. I used to do a lot more comedy, but not right now because I'm getting married in a month and there's like weirdly not
Oh,
time for it.
congratulations.
Thank you. Thank you. Yeah, I'm really excited. Also, I'm assuming a lot of your listeners probably don't live in Philadelphia, so
I don't think so, but I have so many
yeah.
friends like either in New York or in DC, and it's not that
And we're
far.
right in the middle. That's right. Here,
Exactly.
you know what? I'll plug Philadelphia, greatest city on earth. Come through.
Absolutely. Great sports teams. I love it.
That's right. Yes.
I love it. There's a lot of times where I'm rooting for Philadelphia instead of DC, and that's fair. They deserve
We
it.
are fun to root for. I'm so sorry, but the DC teams are kind of a drag.
They are. And they can't win everything. You know, DC has some good stuff, but it's surreal because twice in like 3 days, I have seen a bus in LA with a DC ad on it that just
Okay.
says, nothing like DC.
Wait, we have that in Philadelphia. This must be a national campaign. I
Yeah,
literally
wow.
saw a SEPTA bus yesterday. SEPTA is our public transit that had exactly that ad. And I was like, that's interesting. Like, it's so close to
Exactly.
here. We know about DC.
Exactly.
So
But
I guess
yes.
maybe nobody's going there. So I guess let's plug DC too. Go there.
Yes. I know some people. And we'll leave it at
Aaron's best friends with Joe Biden. You heard it here first.
No, but we have had some Delaware guests on, and
They must be. I mean, that state is like so tiny.
what else is there but Joe Biden? I've been past his house. Again, the state is that big. Yeah. Thank you so much to Cassandra. Happy wedding. What a fun episode. I am really hoping we do more Sarah Dasen on this show. I will see you in 2 weeks for our episode on A Series of Unfortunate Events. My name's Erin Bowles. You can find me everywhere at Erin R. Bowles. The R stands for receiving, as in I am hoping to be receiving good news later today. Is that all? Yeah, I'll take it. All right. Bye. I love ya.